2017, we hardly knew you. Well, 2017, we bid you a fond. Actually, 2017, you're done. OL Army, enjoy your New Year's plans, whatever they may be. May they be joyous, exciting, and most importantly, safe. See you in 2018.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live today with episode number 712 for this December the 31st, the very last day of 2017. My name is Rob Roberts. Not joining us live here yet today is Dark Soccer or Jamie Summers. She'll be joining us over the telephone a little bit later on. But in studio, we do have Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
How are you, Loki?
I'm good.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
Yes. So real quick, just in case people forgot, we talked about this the last episode, the episode before, but we're actually live a little earlier today where it's noon on New Year's Eve, and usually we do our show a little later at 6 o'clock, but for people's plans, we figured, you know, let's do the show a little bit earlier today. But usually we tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And if you are listening live, even if you do happen to be here at noon, you maybe saw the tweet or something, you can join us in our chat room, and we will be reading whatever comments are there. Our next live show, the regular stuff, will be January 7th, 2018, New Year. Anyway, so that's a little bit of housekeeping there.
Yeah.
But how are you doing, Techmaster Loki?
I'm fine.
Yeah. So this is interesting. Since we have an earlier show today, you brought somebody else to the show.
Yes. Oddly enough, he doesn't want to talk right now because he knew that you
shy.
Have a Switch.
A little stage fright.
He wants to play the Switch.
That's fair. Yeah.
So yeah, I brought my son, Josh.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll say hi later.
But right now he's too infatuated with Mario Odyssey, right?
Yeah. He's too busy playing Mario Odyssey.
That's fine. That's understandable. Mario Odyssey is a pretty fun game. So. All right. So anyway, we're going to get into some video game news here in a little bit. I don't think it'll be as long of a show as usual, but we'll try to squeeze in what's been going on around the gaming world. But there are some things like, you know, there's no video game releases going on right now. It's a little bit slower of a time of year. I should go on over to our chat room, of course, over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDeft is in chat saying, Loki son, definitely. I don't know if that's because shy, but you're not shy.
Or no, I think because he's playing video games.
Playing video games, playing Mario Odyssey.
Too busy to talk over video games.
Choosing to do video games over another activity. That maybe makes a little sense. I get it. So, all right. Well, let's start at the top of the show here. Since it is New Year's Eve, it's the end of the year. This is the time of year when people tend to talk about, oh, what are my New Year's resolutions, for better or for worse? I know not everybody's into them, but I thought I'd ask anyway. Is there anything that you are wanting to accomplish in gaming in 2018? And I open that up to our chatters as well. Is there anything you want to accomplish in gaming in 2018, Loki?
I do want to rebuild my DDR pads. I keep bidding on DDR machines, but they never end cheap enough.
Uh-huh.
So I have now a full set of the acrylic panels from a DDR machine.
Is that nostalgia for Dance Dance Revolution the reason why, or is that like I want to have exercise gaming? Okay.
Well, I played laser tag in the first time in a while, and like I'm sore after playing that. I'm like, dude, that's nothing. That is like low impact. Like I need to get my ass in shape like now.
Yeah.
Type of thing. So,
that wasn't a yeah of agreement. That was a yeah of I hear you, I understand.
Yeah,
you,
it's just like
just to be
no,
clear.
Like you know, I do. I you know before it gets worse because it's only going to get worse and get harder. So it's like I didn't realize like oh yeah, I can't do DDR anymore because that's too hard. You know, to do what I used to do, but now it's like playing laser tag. It's like, wow, I'm that sore after playing laser tag.
Okay, so
one game of laser tag.
So backtrack a little bit. Yeah. Yesterday you went and you took the kids to go play laser tag.
Yes, I took them to play their first game of laser tag.
So walk us through that.
We went to Golfland to play, you know, they wanted to play all the games there, and I said no. I said, you're going to go play laser tag. And so we did that, and they had fun. They got laser tag like toys for Christmas. So they've been playing around with those, but they kind of like, you know, they're cheap and crappy. So I was like, well, let's play with the actual laser tag equipment and go in an arena and actually play that and see all that. So they liked it all right, but they're, my youngest son's still a bit little. He's, you know, just about to turn 4. And so he got upset because he lost track of where I was a couple times. And so, you know, that made him upset. But, you know, he had fun. And for the most part, and he was just shooting me. I'm like, you gotta shoot the other team. Not me. Shoot the other team. I'm on your team.
Is that something like repressed anger for all the
time? No, it's just like, grounded? It's just funny. It's like, I'm shooting you, Daddy. Like, whatever. As long as he's having fun, I don't really care. So it was just all right. I mean, but the laser tag that they have at Golfland Sunsplash, I mean, granted, it's not Qzar. It's really old. I played on that, ironically enough, I played on that probably one of the first games that they ever had there, because we actually got to do grad night at Golfland before it opened to the public. So I got to play laser tag there, like one of their first games on brand new equipment, and it was kind of crappy then, but now they're like really crappy. They use a system called Laser Runner, which is all right. Like the packs that they have on their website now look really nice. The packs that they're using now looks like someone took,
but this place was built in what, like 97 or 98?
Yeah, it was like
they haven't changed since then.
Yeah, it's been the same equipment like the entire time. So I mean, it looks like that they took a laser gun, sprayed spray foam all over the crap of that and wrapped it with electrical tape. I mean, it's just like this big padded thing.
All right. So you did the laser tag and your kids were shooting you and you were shooting the other team. You did okay. But after it was done, you were just...
I was just a little
really
bit sore.
Tired. Yeah.
I wasn't really tired, but I was just like, ow, you know, my legs hurt from that. Like, it shouldn't hurt.
Did you stretch first?
I did not stretch first. But, I totally would, you know, like, if there was a Qzar nearby, I'd be playing every weekend. I'd be there all the time.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, I don't know. It was fun. But, yeah, I do want to build those pads just to utilize my arcade cabinet that I have in the garage. And, you know, I've been buying equipment for it. Like, I've got the sheet metal sitting out in my shed. It's been sitting there for years now.
Uh-huh.
I bought the actual acrylic arcade arrows, except four of them are like this custom printed stuff and it doesn't match, but whatever, it's just a thing you step on, so who cares.
It doesn't have to look good, it just
no
has to
it doesn't
work
have
well.
To look good. It's acrylic, who cares if like the decal or the print on it is rubbing off or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter. So
it's
I've
not
got
like you're putting this on YouTube or anything,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So like all I would need now is just the lumber for it and just hardware, I think, and should be able to put
now together. Will this be another project that you have finished where like you get the up and down arrow done but there's no left and right arrows?
No, I would be able to get done. Like I've built pads like several times, and the last ones I had a problem with static electricity building up in them, so it kept shorting out the controller board for it. So, like, it would work for 2 minutes, and then it would just stop working until you shut the whole thing off and turn it back on again.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, knowing more about that kind of stuff, I can ground it properly and have, you know, bypass that issue. So, I don't know.
All right. Well,
I will hope to do that, whether I get around to it or not.
Constructing a new DDR exercise
and of course,
thing is your...
And, of course, the other thing that I've been painfully aware of and been more so lately now that I've run out of things to build is I got to work on my game again.
Yes,
so,
you do.
So that's the other thing. It's been kind of in the front of my mind.
Yes, you do. For me, I think everything as far as like my resolutions or whatever you want to call it go around live streaming, because I was doing really well for a little bit. You know, I got the affiliate status, and then you guys all know I had a really bad year last year, and I think it just kind of stopped, and like it's just... You know, you kind of get in a place where it's like, I don't know if I feel like being extroverted, because I think when you're kind of doing the live stream stuff, you have to be a little bit extroverted, or at least I feel that you do. I mean, I realize some people live stream like literally nothing but just video of them playing, but I feel like you got to have a little more interaction. So it takes a little more extroversion or whatever. So sometimes I just don't always feel it. But I miss it, and I actually did a random live stream again this week, which was like my first one in a month. So I that's something I kind of want to get back into, because I think I do have a lot of fun with the audience, and especially like when it's things like Mario Kart and things you can play with the other people. I think those are some of the best streams that were done. So
you haven't played
Getting Over It yet? No, I have not played that, although that is no, that is definitely on like my agenda for things I want to do in the first couple weeks of the year, because you speak so highly of it. So.
Oh, no, it's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah. I guess otherwise it's just catch up on the good old games backlog, of which I have quite a bit. Oh, I should mention this as a little bit of a follow-up to something I talked about 6 weeks ago or so. I've allowed the Xbox back on the network. Do you remember when my Xbox One used like 900 gigs of data or whatever it was? By the way, I don't know if I ever mentioned this. I did hear from somebody, either Twitter or email. I'm sorry, I forget who and where. This is a few weeks now. But somebody else reached out and said the same thing happened to them. So it wasn't just me. Thank you very much. But I did feel like it was probably Quantum Break that was the culprit in that whole thing. So what I just deleted Quantum Break. I was like, if I want to play it again, I'll, you know, just re-download it at that point. But right now, I deleted it, and no problems. The Xbox has been online, and it's been well-behaved. So it was definitely something about that particular patch that was downloading over and over.
It's just a 900-gigabyte patch.
I guess. All that 4K. For that 4K TV, I don't have. No, I don't know if we'll ever know the solution.
4K, because that also happens to be how much your cable bill is that month.
Anyway. All right, let's see. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Speaking of 4K, Bobby Blackwolf in our chat says, my 2018 gaming resolution is hopefully going to be 4K. Had the first two meetings with a local home theater installation company about a room in my basement. Holy shit, that's taking it seriously. Going to get professional installation. That is a man cave. That is a supremo. Although, even though I call it that, it's not like... I know Bobby's fiance, and she's going to be like, move, I want to watch Doctor Who in 4K. So, even though I say that. Let's see, Dungeon Buster in chat says, no huge resolution other than to hope for a better 2018. Well, ain't that the truth? I think there's a lot of us that are looking out for that. This is the part of the year where I think a lot of your favorite shows would talk about their favorite game from the past year, their game of the year, if you will, their personal best game that came out in 2017, whatever your criteria is. I'm kind of curious for you guys in chat what that game might be. And, of course, I got to ask Loki, what would be your personal game of the year for 2017?
I didn't play a lot of games this year.
You kind of didn't, yet you still have this podcast.
Yeah.
So you follow gaming culture, and you
still
love
Well, I bought a lot of games that I didn't play. So,
that's
you
true.
Know.
You still buy the games.
I still buy the games. I just didn't get around to them. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think back to all the things that have come out. I mean, I guess... I didn't even play through Zelda, really. So, that's kind of bad. I'm sure that one of, like, Zelda or Mario, Super Mario Odyssey would have been, like, probably up there. But I never played them, so...
Well, you don't have a Switch.
I don't have a Switch, harder. But I played enough of the kiosk, I mean...
And you got the Wii U. You have the Wii U Zelda, right?
Yeah, we have the Wii U Zelda and Wii U. So, I mean, that's all right. God, what the hell did I play this year? I don't even remember. Like, probably want to play more Skyrim again. No, I would say, let me think here. So,
I didn't realize this would be such a hard question for you.
Yeah, I didn't play a whole, I mean, nothing was really standout-ish to me other than, I guess, South Park, just because that's the last thing I played.
Okay.
And even that was kind of, it wasn't as good as the last one, I thought. I thought the first one is much better.
You know, almost everybody out there is talking about what a great fucking year this was for gaming. Just for the record. Like, there was a lot of strong games this year. So I think at some point you got to catch up on some of these games for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of great games that came out, but I didn't bother. Well, because, like, the first part of the year, I was actually trying to work on my game, so I didn't buy things for that reason. And then the latter half of the year is just, like, I don't know. I'm too burnt out to play anything, you know. So like even like this fall, like I picked up South Park. I picked up a Lego Marvel Superheroes game. The Lego Marvel Superheroes game is just a grind, so it wasn't it wasn't even that good. I don't know. I played a lot of VR in the beginning of the year. I can't think of anything that really sticks out.
All right. For me, it's easy. My game of the year for 2017 is Super Mario Odyssey, easily. I think just, it kind of gets me to really enjoy 3D Mario games in a way I don't know if I have ever, you know, like I was never as big on Mario 64 when it was first out as I think other people were, although I certainly recognize why it's such a great game and why people really like it. And I think a lot of the best parts of that game really shine through again in Super Mario Odyssey. And I think just the fact that, you know, Mario Odyssey is a game that's kind of, it's very simple in nature, yet there is so much to see and do. And it's like they kind of took that script that worked very well in Zelda, although obviously all these games were in development for a long time, so it's not like they're copying off each other. But I guess you see Nintendo in general taking this more kind of like open world approach. And I think that worked like really well in Mario Odyssey is, you know, kind of like that more open world, which I suppose is not too dissimilar from how Mario 64 originally was, really. But
yeah,
I think there's something about having the boat and traveling back and forth and the fact that you open up more. I mean, spoiler alert, but, you know, you open up more after you beat the main story and so forth. I kind of feel like even gives it more of that sense of openness than even I think I even felt when I did play Mario 64. So, you know, and just even the minimal online components where you have some of the leaderboards with friends and so forth, and just the variety of costumes, and especially some of the way they handle the retro 8-bit stuff and all of that. I think it just adds up to what was just a stellar gaming experience for me this year. So Mario Odyssey absolutely would be my game of the year. So let me check in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, most lists have Zelda, Mario, Cuphead, Resident Evil 7, Horizon Zero Dawn. PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds came out on the 20th, so that counts. Bobby also points out Persona 5. ActDef says, I would put Cuphead as my top five. Yeah, Cuphead was great.
Cuphead was a good game.
Cuphead was, I mean, just especially the art direction and the way they really did transform that whole 1930s cartoon style into what is essentially a shoot 'em up game. It's great. Like, that game's, yeah, a stellar experience. So it's definitely worth checking out if you haven't yet. Bobby in chat says, I wasn't this big on Mario 64 either. When Mario Odyssey got rid of the lives mechanic, that's what got me. I'm fine losing 10 coins if I die. I'm not fine if I lose one of my last three lives. Yeah, it is interesting how they changed that. And I think, I think since the game is more open, where do lives in that traditional, you know, sense, all going all the way back to the original Super Mario Brothers, I guess, where do lives fit in that picture? Where does the story begin and end? It kind of, those lines are blurred a little bit, so I think that's kind of why you have to get away from lives a little bit and look at instead, you know, other ways to penalize the player if they die, which coins is a good mechanic.
It's also good, too, because a lot of this, like, moons in the game that you have to get are, you know, very technical to get to certain places, and so it kind of allows you to challenge yourself to get to places because you know that the repercussion for failing is not that big.
So anyway, sorry, I was reading. So Dark Sakura actually joined our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. I'm not sure how much this I want to say because I would like her to be here to talk through this at some point, but you could probably guess what one of her top three games would be based on certain franchises.
I know. I was surprised, too, when she said Halo was her top franchise of the year. I'm glad
now,
that, you know,
2017
that she came around.
You're asking for a beating.
You know, whereas I understand it can't be the classic game of the week, but to make it your 2017 top game of the year, I mean, that is just...
She's going to come
it's
back.
It's really bold
She's
of gonna you.
She's going to show back up here, and you're going to be dead. And then I'm going to have to explain why Loki's missing all these shows in a row. That's going to be what happens. So anyway, I think I will wait for JB to come back and let her reveal those herself, which I don't know if she'll be back next week or in a couple weeks, but we'll find out. Anyway, let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Now, something I will mention that Jamie's saying in chat, when Dan and I were first together, we kind of bonded over Mario 64 and Symphony of the Night. Well, there's certainly always going to be, you know, some games, I think. Well, obviously, I don't think there's anybody that's going to dispute that Mario 64 and Symphony of the Night aren't, like, really good games. But I think there's always going to be, like, sentimental stuff. I think that you played maybe when you were younger or at a certain key time in your life. And so maybe that's why you tend to like games maybe a little more than other people. It kind of ties into what, you know, our pal Bobby has said on his show about Final Fantasy games for a long time, that your favorite Final Fantasy game tends to be the one that was out when you were 12. Which, whether that's that exact science is true or not specifically for you, I think that age is tied to a lot of sentimental things. So you, I think maybe those two kind of things are tied, is that you tend to, things that have a sentimental tie to them, you're always going to remember a little more fondly than other people. And maybe, just maybe, y'all, when we talk about how, you know, we get in those, I call them fake arguments. I don't think they're real. Maybe they're real for you. I don't know. But when we talk about how Super Metroid, I believe, is the best game that was ever made, yeah, there's probably some sentimental stuff that comes into that. I played that game a lot in college when I didn't have a lot of other stuff going on. So I think there's, you know, for me, maybe that's got some sentimental stuff in it.
And Bobby already, you know, early announcing that his game of 2018 is going to be Ni No Kuni 2. Very courageous.
Wow.
All these, like, oof, big, you know, announcements today.
That's hedging
today.
A big bet.
It's crazy.
That game might get delayed again. We'll see. Let's see. Vog338, somebody going a little anonymous in our chat, saying Mario Kart was my game. So, yeah, well, you know, some people just, I don't know if that's Mario Kart in the past, like a sentimental game, or Mario Kart 8 on Switch was game of the year, because some people didn't discover it till this year because not everybody bought the Wii U. Did you see that news story this week about how the Switch lifetime sales in Japan have already exceeded Wii U's lifetime sales in just the less than a year it's been out? Yeah, I believe it, too. But it's,
which is still surprising, which we'll get to later, that certain things aren't implemented or done yet, Nintendo. Come on.
Well, maybe we'll find a little more about that as we continue on with the show. So ActDeft also pointing out another game that I hear a lot about. Sonic Mania is definitely great. Dungeon Buster also saying Sonic Mania was so good in SSG 100, Matt. Sonic Mania is in my top three game of the year. Yeah, I think a lot of people very pleased with what happened with Sonic, for sure. So... Okay, let's talk a little more current and talk about our gaming weeks, and then we'll get into some of the news that happened this week. Loki, I don't know. I mean, you already kind of mentioned you've been a little slower on the games this year, but did you get to play any games this week? How was your gaming week?
I didn't play any VR games, unfortunately. I did finish South Park, The Fractured Butthole, and then I started going into DLC stuff. But, you know, having played The Stick of Truth, I think that was a better story than The Fractured Butthole. The Fractured Butthole is funny, but, like, at the end, it just kind of seemed very rushed and just kind of like, I don't know. It was all right. It just wasn't as, like, hilarious. Because, like, the whole Stick of Truth was more of, like, the kids playing this, like, role-playing game type thing and this, like, other thing going on in the background that was ridiculous. And then this one is more about superheroes, and the thing that's ridiculous going on in the background is heavily involved in what they're doing. So it wasn't kind of like they're oblivious to this whole thing, or people are oblivious to what's going on. It's just, I don't know, it was ridiculous. But just not as, like, funny as the first game. And then the DLC that I'm playing through right now is kind of like this Danger Room thing, so it's just these really hard battles. And it's just like a grind. Like, there's not really any point to doing it other than, oh, I beat this on really hard difficulty. And I didn't even play that game on hard difficulty because all it does is give the AI more. It makes the battles longer, and I don't really want to sit there fighting all the time for a very long time. I want the story to progress. So, but at least the Danger Room stuff, you have to play it on, like, the highest difficulty. It wasn't that difficult. It just took longer, so... I don't know. It was all right, though. I like the game. All right. I'd recommend it. But it's just, if you're going into it thinking, hey, the combat system's pretty good, but I think the story in the first game is better.
All right.
And then, as far as other games, I played more Pokemon Go, and actually a little bit of Ingress, because we've been going to different parks, so I hit whatever portals are nearby.
New stuff. Here you go.
New stuff. So, but I'm going to try to get into more things again next year.
Okay. To register participation with this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase SMILE.
My gaming week. Well, I mean, I didn't play a lot of new stuff that I can think of this week. It was mostly revisit, especially a lot of Blizzard stuff, because I've still been playing a little World of Warcraft here and there. Although I did also play Final Fantasy 14. See, I am kind of juggling both MMOs because I went and I got that bear mount for Christmas. It's super adorable. You ride this little bear and you throw presents at people. It's really cute. So I like that. And then I was playing Heroes of the Storm, which I've been playing, you know, off and on for a few months now. And then I was also playing, I finally played Overwatch, which I was actually streaming a little bit. And then there was some that I didn't stream. I was actually playing some Overwatch this week. So I was kind of getting back into that. And again, it's this masterful thing that Blizzard has done through games like Heroes of the Storm. I start playing it going, and this is what kind of got me back into WoW, is I was like, oh, playing Malfurion and Heroes of the Storm is kind of fun. I miss kind of like the druid healing stuff, and so I go play that. And now it's with Heroes of the Storm, it's like, oh, playing Lucio and Junkrat is kind of fun, and I should go play Overwatch again. So god damn you, Blizzard, for finding a really good formula that kind of works with all your properties.
I haven't been sucked into the whole Blizzard thing, because I tried Overwatch. I just never got into it. Yeah. I tried it, and I bought it, and I was, no, just not interesting.
See, I don't know. It's controversial what I'm going to say, but I don't know if maybe the experience is different on console versus PC. But then again, I know some people that swear by consoles and they love it.
I play on PC.
Oh, do you? I thought you played on console.
I play with a controller on PC.
Okay, now that's just weird.
I have a touchpad. I can't play keyboard mouse with a touchpad.
Yeah, okay.
And
I have a mouse.
Yeah. But like, I don't have any place to put a mouse on a couch, so I play with a controller. I mean, it's fine. I like a controller, but it's not that I keep dying or anything. It's just that I just don't find the game interesting.
Let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Valagus in chat says, I'm with Loki on Overwatch, yet ActDef says, I love Overwatch. So there you go.
Well, a lot of people love Overwatch. Oh, I'm not knocking it. It's a great game. It's just I can't get into it for some reason. I don't know.
Tiger Claw in chat says, I guess you could say 2017 was Overwatch's year, so much so they managed to get themselves featured in the upcoming Ready Player One movie for next year.
Yes, that see, that's the thing. Like, Ready Player One, I'm ultra hyped for that. That I used to have, like, I used to be that way with games, too. Like, certain games would be like, oh my god, I can't fucking wait to play that game.
Right.
You know, but it's just not feeling it now. Red Dead Redemption 2, maybe, but I'm not even like, I'm kind of cooling down to that game because
what is it? Is that just, you know, that you don't have the same time that you used to, or is that this whole stuff that's
played
happened with loot boxes and the
game's
patching?
Well, it's just, I know that they're gonna have a big online portion. Red Dead Redemption, I never was into it as much as Grand Theft Auto, but it was a great game. I just never finished it. Whereas I finished all the Grand Theft Auto games, but I don't know. I just, like, if they announce a Grand Theft Auto 6, I'd be pretty hyped for that. It's just now they're like, I'm a little disappointed that they didn't do any single player DLC for Grand Theft Auto 5 because they had like planned some nice stuff, but then they made too much money online and they're like, ah, forget that. We're just gonna put all our resources in the online, which is fine. Online's pretty good, yeah, apparently, and there's a lot to do now. But I just haven't. I've been so out of it for a long time that I don't know.
All right. Well, you know, I think with Overwatch, I think there's a lot of people that, you know, are still, or at least I'm kind of getting the sense, you know, reading blogs and people's personal game of the year and Twitter and stuff. There's some people that are saying, you know, Overwatch was kind of my game of the year this year, too. It's the game that I just play a lot of because they add maps, they add characters, they do different things with the competitive seasons. They kind of, you know, kind of keep people engaged with Overwatch. So for some people, it was kind of their game of the year 2017 and 2016. That's just the interesting thing about the gaming world we live in now, how games metamorphosize and change through patches and either pay expansions or not pay expansions.
Yeah.
So, you know, in many ways, I would say Final Fantasy 14 Stormblood, that expansion was one of the better things that was released this year. But where does that kind of fit in, you know?
Yeah. And then, like, also a lot of the games I was looking forward to in the fourth quarter this year were ruined by microtransactions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I was looking forward to the new Battlefront game. Like, it looked cool because, like, oh, hey, you know, the fact that you're playing, you know, the bad guy, which apparently, spoiler, you turn to the light side, like, immediately. I mean, it would have been better if you stayed on as the villain in that. Like, that's more interesting.
Yeah.
You know, but no, we didn't do that. And then they ruined all of it with just, like, shoving this microtransaction stuff down your throat.
Well, I still kind of think that I think because of all this vast negativity and some of the things we're going to get into here at the top of the show, I think loot boxes are done for. I know you kind of still think that there's companies, maybe in free-to-play games, they'll still be there.
No.
I think they're done for. I really
they're
do.
Not. I don't think so at all.
We'll see.
I think they're going to still do this. It's we'll see. Still gonna, it's going to get worse.
That's going to be something for the time capsule
that
for next year.
That will be for the time
capsule. Which, by the way, some of you might be asking, why aren't you opening the time capsule tonight? We want to do it when we're live at our normal time, so we have, you know, our usual turnout here. And we would like Jamie to be here so that we can all kind of do it together. So we'll do that at our first show back. So
yeah.
But I will say, oh, I guess a little bit of housekeeping, because we're going to get into housekeeping here. I am going to try to get more guests on the show in 20. I know I always say that, and then we'll get a bunch of guests, and then it kind of fizzles out. But certainly, if you know somebody who's developing a game or somebody that wants to come promote, you know.
Should we try to do another game jam and this time actually go through with it? No.
I would want to make sure it's defined a little better than it was last time. Yeah. So we can talk about that. But as far, and that's not a knock. It's just more like definition for, like, so that I don't feel like I'm holding the whole thing up by, you know, not participating in certain ways. So I just kind of want to, well, how can we better quantify our role in that whole thing? That's all. Anyway. Shoot. Now you derailed the show.
Oh. It was only one entry that was never submitted. Yeah. Yeah.
To be fair, I said I'd try to do something too, and it was just I did try to go in Unity and learn. I probably learned more about Unity than I knew before because of it. So I would say little accomplishment, nothing else. But anyway,
I did finish one thing this year. I mean, it was a project for work, but okay. it technically was a built thing. It was a tech demo, and it was finished. So. It's one thing that's somewhat finished.
There you go. Grasp the straws where you can.
Yeah, I'll All take right. that.
Anyway, I will say you can look forward to January 14th here on the show. That is when I'm planning the Ladies of Ingress night. So that'll be fun.
Hooray!
That'll be fun. So if you don't know much about that game, even though we talk about it once in a while, we're going to have a lot to talk about that night. So that should be fun. And the gals that'll be here are really funny, so it's gonna be a fun show. Even if you don't play that game and you don't really give a hoot about it, I think you'll have a good time.
You didn't find Pepper or anything? We couldn't get one on the blue side.
I there's too many green people that want to come that oh. I just it's gonna be as fair and balanced as Fox News okay. that night. That's all I can say. No, well here's my thing. I don't want to talk about stupid drama faction war stuff. I want to get like the game. I don't want to talk about that other stuff. Like this show is really highbrow, and so I'm trying not to bring it down to that other stuff. So yeah, we're gonna just keep it focused on accomplishments and positives and all that good stuff. So all right, anyway, where was I? Oh yes, we're gonna get into I guess as far as like other housekeeping goes, there's no shows off that I know of coming up. We should be here pretty regularly on Sunday nights. I don't even have any conventions scheduled until August, really, at this point. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll be doing anything early next year. We'll kind of see. I'm not doing Nightfest, sadly.
Because April.
Oh, yeah, the Indie Arcade will be in April. Yeah. So there'll be that, hopefully. I mean, I haven't had confirmation on that, but I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. So that'll be good.
Oh, and Bobby says March 25th.
That's not a gaming convention. Right. Oh, right. But I'm going to be out of town that Sunday anyway. You're right. Okay, so that's, yeah, the end of March will be a show that we'll be missing for not a convention reason, but personal reasons. So,
yeah.
All right. Anyway, in the meantime, let's get into some gaming news, talk about what's going on in the gaming world. Loki.
So let's start off with an extremely positive story. Okay, just kidding. It's not extremely positive because it's 2017. So you may be familiar with swatting, the whole thing where if you don't like what someone's doing, you call in a fake police report, and the SWAT arrives at their house and scares them, and oh, it's so hilarious, isn't it? So apparently there was a couple of people that were involved with a Call of Duty match where they had a bet of $1.50 running on the match, and apparently they lost, and there were words had between them, and they started arguing, and so apparently the one guy threatened to SWAT the other guy, and so he got this guy by the name SWAT-tastic to SWAT him, and the player, I guess, Miracle, he had, taunted the SWAT-tastic guy because he was trying to dox him to get his address. And so he said, well, here's my address. Come swat me. You know, you're just going to get jail time if you do that. And so he did. He swatted him. And come to find out, it wasn't his address. And so what happened? Well, the police arrived. The guy that was at the house heard a commotion outside, opened the door, and was shot to death. And so now, you know, he's dead. His children don't have a dad anymore. And, you know, this guy, you know, basically thought he got away with it. Well, then he went on to Drama Alert, a YouTube channel, and bragged about what he did and stuff. And then finally, the LAPD did catch him. And so now he is under arrest.
Okay, so I hate that this story is tied to video gaming because and no offense, I realize it's something a lot of blogs and people are talking about, and that's what we bring to the table each week, even if it's not, you know, hooray, a new game being released. But it really sounds like this whole video game thing is completely secondary to the other issues going on here.
It's,
because it could have been $1.50 on a sports game. It could have been $1.50 on... you know, a you got served dance.
Well, there's a whole lot of there's a whole lot of people to blame here. I mean, first off, this guy brags about swatting like MLG events and stuff like that. He thinks it's funny to like have people evacuate buildings and watch it on TV.
Well, what a bunch of, and I hope your kid isn't listening, so I'm gonna say this quietly, but what a bunch of fucking assholes just being fucking assholes. That's what this is.
Yeah.
This is just a story about assholes being assholes, and it's horrible. It's horrible what's happened that, you know, an innocent person basically got killed.
These are grown adults. These are grown adults that are doing this kind of stuff.
So I don't think anybody in our audience really does this or is into this or whatever, but my plea would be, you know, to anybody out there is like, don't watch these YouTubes. Don't support these things. Call people out when they're being, you know, stupid about this swatting stuff, because look at what happened. And it's really...
And the guy wasn't even involved in it. The guy that got killed is a complete innocent bystander. Yeah.
And it's not like this is the first time swatting has happened. We've seen this stupid stuff happen on Twitch and, you know, throughout all the drama that's happened in gaming in the past couple of years and so forth. It's not like this is the first time. But unfortunately, I think a lot of people said at that time, what's it going to take for people to take this seriously? Is somebody going to have to die? Welp. Here we are. We've reached that point because nobody took it seriously before. And now, unfortunately, for that point, it sucks. And I'm sorry to be so bleh about it, but that's the reality is here we are. You know, thank God this guy is in jail. You know, he should be spanked publicly. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Actually, more than that. But anyway, I'll leave that to the judicial system.
The guy that called it in was 25 years old. It's like a grown adult. It's just, I don't understand how these people are out there. He was, like I said, on Twitter, he was kind of saying, you know, I didn't get anyone killed because I didn't discharge a weapon, and being a SWAT member isn't my profession. And yeah, the police, I think, are a little bit to blame here. Well, they're definitely to blame here, too, because what did you expect was going to happen? You're making a commotion outside, you know, and the guy opens the door unarmed to see what's going on, and you immediately shoot him? You don't say, hey, get down on the ground or anything like that. It's just
that's
open fire.
A whole nother issue I think that needs to be explored too, but much bigger than what this show can get into, you know, that type of thing. But obviously there's just a lot of like stuff in this story where it's like, this all sucks. All of it. It sucks. And as in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, Valigus in chat says, we gamers get trashed again because of an a-hole.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And that's unfortunately why we have to bring it up on this show. But I think it's an opportunity for us to kind of say, okay, this ain't funny. And I'm going to let other people know it's not funny. And I'm not going to follow it. And I'm not going to support it. And that's kind of what MXC in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says. This is disgusting. And I'm glad I don't understand why. I'm glad I don't understand why anyone finds it humorous to do this stuff. It's not.
They had an interview with the, I don't know who it was. It was like the wife or the sister or something like that. Basically, so after... because they called in basically that he was in a hostage situation. He was holding his family hostage, and that he was, I don't know if he had killed somebody or something like that. So basically they took down who they thought was the hostage taker, and then They arrested the hostages as well and had them walk over their dead dad, like step over their dead dad, and as they brought him outside, it was like kids. Like, it just, the whole thing sounds like it was handled terribly.
I don't know. I mean, I understand though that a lot of law enforcement has to take some of this stuff seriously, because what if it was a serious situation, right? You don't want to, you know, the boy who cried wolf, that type of situation.
Yeah, but you don't want to shoot first, ask questions later type
I
thing.
I definitely agree with that element of that.
Because
so.
How many times have we had problems with that, or just over, you know, excessive force being used in situations?
Yeah. Anyway. All right. That's it. I don't want to talk about stupid people doing horrible, horrible things any longer. Let's move on to something that actually really does impact gaming, and this could be setting an interesting tone for 2018, and it's a new rule out of Apple. Apple, and this kind of quietly, I say quietly because, well, I mean, obviously blogs are picking up on it, but it kind of happened in that slower holiday period, and so I'm not sure everybody's really picked up that this has happened, but Apple has put a new guideline for games coming to the App Store, and this is targeting, I suppose, microtransaction. As part of the new policy, which you can see on Apple's website, Apple will now require games on the App Store that features microtransactions and loot boxes to disclose the possibility of winning a certain loot or item, where we've heard this before, which was the big China law that some people have been talking about, you know.
Good.
Is that gonna
I
come
think
here?
It's a great thing that they're doing.
Yeah. So anyway, the rule specifically states in the guidelines for App Store approvals, quote, apps offering loot boxes or other mechanisms that provide randomized virtual items for purchase must disclose the odds of receiving each type of item to customers prior to purchase. So,
so does that mean that they have to disclose it in like an end user license agreement, or like when I go to purchase that loot box, it says it pops up a screen showing me the odds of everything?
That's a really good question, and unfortunately, I don't think it's really
clear.
It's not clear here, so we'll have to see what kind of happens from what Apple starts accepting from what they don't start accepting. Now, this same policy doesn't show up on the Google Play Store, but since most people kind of have to do their apps for both these days, right? If you really want to get everybody, you got to do Apple and Google. Although some things get away with it. Like HQ still is on Android, right? That game's a big freaking deal, and it's still not on Android, right? Or it's going to be soon? I don't know.
I don't know.
And then some things, you know, like Mario Run came out on iOS first, and then what the Fire Emblem thing was out on Android first. So, you know, some things. But eventually they're kind of out for both. But my point is that even though Google doesn't have this rule, like, it's probably going to start showing up even if you have an Android device, just because programmers are just going to make the same game for both.
Well, no, not necessarily. I don't think that they volunteer that information. I think that they'll only show it if they have to. What I could see them happen, you know, implementing that is if they start having more pressure from, like, the ESA. Well, I don't know if the ESA is going to really put any pressure on them, but if, like, you know, this whole, you know, movement right now with government where they're trying to, I think, put out a Senate bill or something like that saying, hey, we need to crack down on these loot boxes, because there's several states now led by Hawaii. They're trying.
I thought Hawaii was doing that in Hawaii. I thought it was
no,
Hawaii.
It's other. There's other other congressmen that are actually working on it as well. So or at least they have support by other states. So
sure.
It may start in Hawaii and then may move on. So who knows?
Yeah, but that's another reason why I'm thinking loot boxes are kind of done, but we'll see.
They'll find a way around it.
Yeah. Anyway, over in chat, over at live.vognetwork.com, ActDev says, that's a good rule. Dungeon Buster says, if you have to start somewhere with self-regulating loot boxes, one could say Apple is as good and as big a proponent as any. So that's another interesting angle, is Apple doing this to, quote-unquote, self-regulate to stop maybe a lot of this talk about Hawaii, et cetera, getting in on a movement to regulate something?
Maybe, yeah.
I think that could be a huge part of it, too. So, all right. Well, interesting. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this could affect games in 2018. We haven't really seen the result of this yet, because then Apple kind of went in that dark approval, well, which is normal between Christmas and New Year. There's not really a lot of approvals getting through. But I think as we get into January, you know, I'm assuming that if games want to do updates, they're going to have to conform to this, right? I mean, maybe the games that are already out there are going to stay out there, but now games as they update are going to have to implement this. So that'll be. It's going to be interesting to see how that changes things in 2018. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. Next story, Loki.
So you remember that whole kind of Easter egg that they had in the Switch operating system that hid the game Golf, the NES game Golf in there?
It was the tribute to Iwata, right?
Yes, the tribute to Iwata. Well, apparently they are removing it. So according to hackers, the Switch, or data miners, I should say, the Switch Update 4.0 takes the flog code that was in there, removes all of it, and the executable, and overrides it with garbage data. So that's kind of unfortunate. So I don't know what the point of that is. Is why? Was it because they didn't know that was in there? It was like some coder hid that in there and they didn't like it? Or, I mean, that's kind of lame. I don't know what the point would be behind that.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. Maybe they got frustrated at how much this was taking off when it was supposed to be kind of like a hidden tribute type of thing, or maybe they realized they could charge for this. I don't know. That's what the cynical side, I think, says a lot of people.
It's Golf. Come on. We're missing out on that $10.
I know,
that we're
right?
Generate.
The Golf on the NES was, you know, it's not a game that aged gracefully. Back in the day, you know, it was kind of, you know, it was Golf is about as good as you could get, but it hasn't aged gracefully compared to a lot of stuff today.
That's like removing Nibbles or Gorillas from, you know, QBasic 5 and DOS or something like that. It's like they're shitty. It's a shitty game that's super old that who cares? You've made your money on that. I hope it's not financially motivated, because if it is, that's super lame.
So Bobby in chat is saying that it was supposed to be a blessing never to be unopened. It's part of the Japanese custom, and it's not about money or anything like that. It was kind of supposed to be removed because the data miners opened it. So basically, it was intended to be hidden the whole time, and because it got opened, it's like Pandora's box got unleashed or whatever.
Then don't make a way to activate it. That's so dumb.
Well, I kind of get it. Like, I actually kind of get it.
Whatever.
Is that
you
it was
what?
A hidden secret
care.
Thing. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, this is what I will agree with. At the end of the day, okay, they buried this thing and they made it very hard to get to because it was supposed to be a blessing and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, somebody forgot that rule, and that is hackers going to hack. Right? So, of course, somebody was going to find this eventually. So, you know, that's the whole thing. But I understand why maybe it was supposed to be the secret thing that wasn't supposed to get out. And then when it got out, it became about, ooh, hidden game, and not about it's a tribute, actually, type of thing.
They'll mod it and put it back in there.
That's interesting. You know, you say that tongue in cheek, but I bet you people will. There was, and I was seeing some of the chat on Discord. I didn't put it in our, which, by the way, just a plug for our VOG Network Discord. If you're not there, it's a lot of fun conversations like this one, vognetwork.com/discord. I was seeing that there's been a lot of advancement in Switch Homebrew this week, and there was a full – I didn't get a chance to watch that whole YouTube, so that's why I didn't want to bring it up totally on the show tonight. But they have made some much bigger strides in getting Homebrew to actually work on the Switch this week. You know, so even though you say that very tongue in cheek, oh, they'll just put it back. We're getting closer to that being a reality, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, let's see. So Bobby found the whole little explanation. He wanted to copy paste here saying it's because the flog was intended to, which was the Golf's butt buggers, was intended to be a omamori for Iwata, or an amulet asking for a blessing. You don't open an omamori or else you lose its blessing. When people found the Golf Iwata tribute, they opened the omamori. Omamori are replaced yearly traditionally. Oh, interesting. So maybe there's a new one in there. No, I don't. That might be taking it too far.
Then but don't make a way to open it.
And that's the thing. Is like, I get it. Like, I totally respect that and I understand that. But did you think you were going to sneak a game in the hardware and somebody wouldn't find it? Like, again, hacker's going to hack, right? So, like, it was going to get open. But
yeah,
we'll see. It'll be interesting to see maybe if Golf ends up on this whole Nintendo thing that's coming in the next year or what they do there. But
it could be. It could be on their online service. And since we'll never be able to open it because it'll never come out.
Stop. Now you're
the
just
the tradition
mean.
Lives on.
Now you're being mean. All right.
I'm just being realistic.
All right. Let's talk about some Sega hardware. Woohoo. We like Sega. Since, you know, a lot of people are talking about, you know, SNES Classic and all that stuff this holiday season, let's talk about Sega hardware. Well, there are some new systems coming out. Not like a brand new Sega system. Don't get too excited. But apparently this is the Retrobit Micro Console, the folks that make the Retrobit console. They are teaming up with Sega to do new products based on the Mega Drive or Genesis, the Saturn, and the Dreamcast. Yeah. That could be awesome. So we might actually see Dreamcast games on one of these.
Yeah, because I could care
things.
Less about the Sega Genesis or the Mega Drive because those have been out forever.
That's true. They have re-released those in boxes
several
times.
And they're trying to get in on the NES and SNES Classic Mini
actually,
money.
Nah, I would. Those Genesis things were out before that.
Right,
they
exactly.
Really were,
but now they're trying to get in on that.
Okay, that's
they're trying
fair.
To figure out. But
sure.
Like Dreamcast and Saturn. Yeah, maybe I'm bored with that.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I think especially with Dreamcast or so, especially, oh my gosh, if I could play Phantasy Star Online again, I'd be so happy. I'm not going to go that far to expect that that'll be there. I think it'll be stuff more like, you know, Crazy Taxi and...
I don't care.
You know, Space Channel 5, hey, I'm in for that. Why not? Anyway, so Retrobit is promising to retain the original formats, but also doing upgrades like USB and Bluetooth. Apparently, CES 2018, which is, what, it's only about
a few weeks away.
Yeah, it's the first weekend in January, I think. We're going to see more about this. They're saying they will tease that there, so that'll be very cool. So maybe next year's big thing will be the Dreamcast Mini. Who knows? We can dream. But, I mean, the thing with those retro Sega Genesises and the Atari flashbacks and stuff is that you can really find those really easy. They certainly don't have a stock. In fact, with the flashbacks, I think they might make too many of those because I usually see those on sale at some point.
Yeah,
they're
all over the place.
Yeah, they are. So, all right, one more story for you, and then we're going to get to the classic game of the week. Loki.
So Universal Studios keeps putting out all these different rides based on video games. So now Universal Studios Japan is finally getting a Final Fantasy ride. And I guess they said starting January 19th, the Final Fantasy is getting a roller coaster at Universal Studios Japan called Final Fantasy XR Ride. It's a limited time ride, part of, I guess, their Cool Japan event. And it will be a VR-enabled roller coaster. Pretty neat. And I guess it's going to end its run on June 24th. But they have pictures of Sephiroth.
I think it's supposed to be like a bunch of the different Final Fantasy games. Like you travel through, because I guess Lightning's in it too, and you know some of the other characters. So I guess you travel from one fantasy to another.
Is it the roller coaster?
Well, we have that release on PS4 coming up. So maybe.
Am I going to go down like a big hill and then run through Aerith as I go?
One can hope.
Like it's the total Sephiroth simulator one there.
We won't know until people ride the ride. But that is interesting. It's an interesting way to do it, to, you know, especially with the whole VR coaster, which I know they're – I haven't been on one yet here, but I know they just put one in at the nearby Six Flags. They still call it Six Flags Marine World. What the hell is it called now? I'm so old.
I think
it's
Animal
cool.
Kingdom or something.
Is it? Whatever it is. The one in Vallejo.
Yeah.
Or as I like to say, Valley Joe. the one in Vallejo has like a VR coaster they just put in. So, but the thing about that is that, okay, you know, yeah, cool, you can do, like, the VR stuff, but because a lot of that is also software-based, it's not like you're having to lay all this new track.
Yeah,
you can kind of generate a new, I mean, I make it sound like, oh, you just do it overnight. Obviously, no, it takes a team of graphics programmers, but probably still less people than it would to actually go out there and lay new track to do a new coaster and tear the old one down.
Yeah, because they have all the motion data already in there, and they're just reskinning it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Looking in chat, Bobby Blackwolf says Six Flags Over Georgia has a VR coaster. It's a regular coaster, but you can opt to wear a gear VR. Yeah, I think that's kind of what the Six Flags thing here is, too. So maybe they put them in a lot of
the different
ones.
It looks cool. I mean, they've got, like, you know, them fighting and Seth Roth looking into this Japanese woman's eyes very lovingly as he murders. Oh, and chocobos. That was short. That's 15 seconds.
Well, I'm curious to see what this looks like and, you know, what they might kind of rotate in and out at different places. I would like to see if it would come to Universal Studios over here as well.
It's all about Mario Kart VR whenever that comes out.
Well, Mario Land's going to be a real thing.
I know. I
or Super
that.
Nintendo World, whatever they're calling it. Anyway, we're going to take a trip to old school land right now.
from the segment we call the Classic Game of the Week. Every week, Dark Soccer jumps into the gaming vault, finds a game that she thinks, hey, you brats should check this game out and do this. So we're actually going to get her on the line right now through the magic of the telephone so Dark Soccer can actually tell us the Classic Game of the Week. And hopefully she doesn't ignore the call because it's a weird number. Oh, I think we have her there. Hi, Jamie, you there?
Yeah, I am.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, good to hear from you. I hope you're doing well.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Are you sure you're good to do this segment tonight? You sound a little like you want to go back to bed.
Well, you know what? I was in bed, and everyone kept waking me up with text messages.
Oh.
So I just got up, and I'm a little bit on codeine right now.
So we get to spend the last classic game of 2017 on drugs.
Hooray.
Yay. Don't do drugs, kids.
How appropriate, considering what's happening here tomorrow in California, if you haven't already heard. A proposition that was passed a year or two ago is finally taking effect. Oops, that was supposed to be your classic game.
I think I'm just...
It's your classic commercial.
Classic commercial, because I was an idiot and didn't fast forward. Sorry about that. What were you going to say,
Jamie? I think I'm just going to grow some bud in my backyard just because I can.
Just because you can.
It'll go in my fairy garden.
So now, Jamie, one thing I did not mention, I did see an article regarding it, though, but they have, and I haven't downloaded it yet because I just found out about it yesterday, but they have a VR Danganronpa thing.
Oh, they've had a VR Danganronpa thing for a while.
Oh, since I have you on the line, I was going to wait till you were back in studio to do this, but you did send them to me in a message, so maybe you do want to get it out there tonight. Before we get to the classic game of the week, would you like to share quickly your favorite game of 2017 and why?
Well, I have a top three, but one of them's really more favorite than the others.
Okay.
So I would say that Breath of the Wild is my game because we've already played through it on Wii U, and then I won the Switch at work. So we're playing through it again, and we've got all these Amiibo cards that Dan bought on Amazon. So we're trying to get all of like the special goodies from the other games, and it's really fun. It's revitalized our love for the series. So that's been getting more attention from me, I think, than except the fact that I've been going back and playing Dragon Age Inquisition a lot. But, you know, I'd also like to give the honorable mentions to Danganronpa V3, even though I haven't gotten very far in it, because it's Danganronpa. And what else came out this year? Mass Effect Andromeda? I think it came out this year?
Yeah, it did. You had that on your list you sent to me.
Yeah, I played it a good bit. I really liked the Legion WoW expansion, to be honest, although, you know, right now I don't have enough stability to play it right now.
That's fair. Codeine, it's fun. All right.
But I like floating around and breaking old dungeons with my demon hunter. That's pretty fun.
There you go.
And I really do like, as far as iOS releases, I really do like the Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. That one's pretty fun. I've really enjoyed it, and, you know, I really play a good bit of it every day.
I have to be honest, I kind of gave up on that. Is there still a lot to do in that?
Oh, yeah. They put out, like, the flowers, and you can crossbreed your plants, and I'm trying to have a garden of nothing but black tulips, like my soul.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's get to the classic game of the week for this week, which has nothing to do with any of these games we've talked about, but it does
have to do with the classic system that I brought up over this year.
Okay, so here it is.
It first came out on that system.
The final classic game of 2017, bringing it full circle. What is your pick tonight, Arsara?
It's Asuka 120% Burning Fest.
Which I think is a lot of cutscenes, a lot of like long extended segments. So you're going to hear a little talking in the background here.
Skip up into the fighting part of things.
Okay, if I can find one of the fighting parts here, let me see. Where's
maybe 10 minutes?
Yeah, I was like, this is a long intro. Oh wait, here's some fighting. Hold on, let me skip ahead to here. There we go.
Okay, but I would appreciate if you can turn it down a little bit because I can't hear myself talk.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Anyway, Oscar won 28%. Burning Fest was produced by Fill In Cafe and distributed by Family Soft and Kodansha. It was actually programmed and designed by Imaizumi Masatoshi, who also did a little game called Panzer Bandit, which, if anyone knows Panzer Bandit, it was reskinned as Pandemonium. So we've got a little bit of a PlayStation link here. It actually had some pretty good talent behind the design. Manga artist Ali Nanase did the character designs, and she also did the Samurai Spirits 2 anime designs, and a few other manga and games. So really good artist. And then the music was done by Yona Okeishi, who did actually a good number of games to Terra Fantasica, Paradise Lost, Mad Stalker, quite a few games. So we've got really talented sound designer. But anyway, the game itself came out on the FM Towns, so that's why it went back to one of the classic games. And it was released initially on March 11th, 1994. The series only came out in Japan, but it had many iterations over the time. I'm not even saying it's all that great of a game. It's an all-female fighting game, where it's set at the Ryoran private school, where it's all for, young girls from the upper edges of society. And they have a martial arts tournament called the Club Rivalry Budget Contest Mega Fight. Yeah, I'd sign up for that. It's an all Bishoujo game. So there was a version released that had voice acting and dubbing, which I think that's the version I've linked to the video, is Asuka 120% Special Burning Fest on PlayStation in 1996. And then it had a couple of other releases later. It was updated and released as Asuka 120% Excellent Burning Fest in 1997, and then Asuka 120% Limited Burning Fest for Sega Saturn. That's much better graphics and changes to the characters. And then there was finally a 1999 release that was Asuka 120% Final Burning Fest. And then there were other releases on PC. It had Return Burning Fest, and then another Final Burning Fest on PlayStation, which was part of the Super Light 1500 series, and Limit Over Burning Fest, that was an unofficial release on Sega Saturn that came out in 1998. But one of the other notable things about this game is that basically Fill-In Cafe was just two full-time programmers, and they basically went on to Treasure. So some of the games that they developed, they were also behind Mad Stalker on the X68000 and Makeruna Makendo 2 Kimero Yokai Sori for PlayStation before Fill-In Cafe went bankrupt. So we have our Treasure link here as well. For a game that's only got six characters, it certainly did have quite the following. The website actually is still up and running, a Japanese website. It's Asuka 120% Burning Room, and you can go check out characters and look up stuff on them there. There's character models and whatnot, but really this is, it was kind of one of those niche games that, fans either love or hate, but, like I said, it's not the most solid fighting game out there, but it is one of the ones that began its life on the FM Towns, and we got much wider releases later, and they kept updating and updating it, so there you go, Asuka 120% Burning Fest.
All right, kind of bringing it full circle with the FM Towns from earlier this year and the classic system and all that.
There it is, your classic game of the week. Asuka 120% Burning Fist. The noises
11
in the
versions of the game.
Yeah, the noises you were hearing were from the Sega Saturn version of the game, just to clarify, because I think you said it was PlayStation in there, but that was Sega Saturn version, which I'm was probably the one you had, if any of them, I'm assuming.
I think I've got it somewhere in the pile.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was always that game that whenever I went to import shops, it was always everywhere. I mean, it's about as, I'd say, a fairly common game.
Yeah.
You know, at least in my experience, it was. People might have a little bit more trouble finding it now. I mean, if we look on eBay, I'm sure we could find a couple of copies for various things.
All right. Well, Jamie, feel better, and we hope to see you here next week. But if it's a couple weeks, then it's a couple weeks. But we'll see you soon, I hope.
By the way, if you did want it on Saturn, the most expensive one I found is $27.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Yeah, it's really cheap.
Although,
however,
the game,
you know, the
it's there's the other sharp games you could spend the money on.
Well, the Sharp X 68,000 version is $200, but then again, it is the Sharp X 68,000.
Yeah,
so
that's going to be a little harder console to find. So, all right. Well, I'm going to let you go, Jamie. Enjoy the drugs.
Oh, yeah, I'm enjoying them a lot. Thank you.
All right.
Hopefully, it will make me not give a crap about how 2018 starts.
All right, well, take care and feel better.
Thank you.
All right,
bye.
All right, always good to hear from Dark Sakura here on the show. We are going to take a quick break, though, but don't go anywhere. We got more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including some rapid-fire news. I don't know if we have mail tonight, but we'll log in and find out. And some other gaming news, and then we'll open the Skype line. I don't know if anyone's going to call us, but we'll open the Skype line and see if we get anything. All right. And then that'll probably wrap it up here on this special New Year's Eve edition, because we didn't want to go 2 weeks with no show. So, you know, because we've done that already too much this year. It's been a year. So a little special edition of Orange Lounge Radio here to close out the year. We'll be right back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live today. December the 31st, New Year's Eve, with a special edition of our show that's taping a little bit earlier in the day here. Loki is joining me here in studio. Dark Sakura just was on the phone with us, but is no longer here. So, yes, Loki.
So, yeah. So, I bribed my son into coming in here to talk to us a little bit.
Okay. Amazing. Slurpee. I don't know how you did that, but congrats.
Power of Slurpees.
All right. So can we say hello? Pick up that mic and say hi to our listeners that are out there, if you don't mind. How's it going?
Good.
Good, yeah. You've been playing Super Mario Odyssey in the other room, right?
Yeah.
Do you like that game?
Yes.
Why do you like Super Mario Odyssey? What is it about that game?
Well, so it's just like you can throw the hat and you can turn into stuff, and it's fun to do it.
When you're like throwing the hat and stuff, it's really cool.
Yeah, you can like throw it on them, and then you can like throw it on stuff, and then you can like turn into it.
What's your favorite like thing to throw a hat at?
Frog, because you can jump high. Yeah.
Frogs are pretty cool, but don't bring them in the house.
Yeah. So you play a lot of, what was it, Roblox?
Yeah, Roblox.
So in Roblox, what's your favorite game to play in that one? What is Roblox, first off?
Well, Roblox is like a game where you can like make your own character, but you need to, some stuff like you need to use with Robux, which you buy with real money.
Oh boy, I bet Dad loves that.
And then you use it to like buy stuff in the game.
Like VIP or?
Yeah, like VIP.
So I've seen you play like different like simulator games in there. Like they have like a prison.
Subway simulator.
So is that like a subway like the train or subway like the restaurant?
Subway to train.
Oh, okay.
Not the restaurant, because then I would just go in there and buy like 1,000,000,000 sandwiches.
And then I've seen you do one like, was it like a cake or something? Was it like a cake one where you make cakes or something and then you were somebody? I don't remember how.
What? I wasn't killing anybody.
No.
With a cake? That seems
like
a delicious death.
I don't know. He had like simulators and stuff where he'll go and attack people like for money or something. I don't remember.
Well, there's some stuff where you need to, like, attack people, and then you like, evolve.
Yeah. And then you play a lot of Wii U stuff. So what are your favorite games to play on Wii U?
Legend of Zelda.
The Breath of the Wild? The new
both,
one?
Both.
And the you got Wind Waker?
Yeah, I only have those two.
Cool.
What's your favorite thing to do in Zelda Breath of the Wild? Do you like to just run around, or do you like to ride a horse, or what do you like to do?
I like throwing the bombs.
Do you like to use the bombs?
Come on, Nolgus wants to ask him if Loki steals his Legos. Do I steal your Legos? Do I steal your Legos?
I don't steal his Legos. I suggest
he completes his Lego sets in a shorter period of time than 3 months.
I did hear that the presents the Dark Soccer and I got you, he ended up getting to use a lot. So
yes. My youngest son Danny got the Lego Batman.
Batman.
The Brickhead, and then they got the Domino Rally, which we opened up the other day, and my youngest son wants to take it out and spread it all over the floor, and I'm like, no, let's not do that. I think he thought that there was like cars in there, and he wanted to play with the cars is what he wanted. So we did that.
I'm looking at our chat. Tiger Claw on chat says, does Loki, your dad, stay true to his name? Is he a trickster around the house?
What?
Do I trick you a lot? Does he like to do pranks? Does he trick you?
He sometimes tricks me, like that time on the field trip where you said the head's going to eat you if you get close.
Remember? What?
Remember you said the head was going to eat you when I get close and you're tricking me?
That's
I don't
a good
remember
old,
that.
That's,
I,
it's probably something adults lie
about
to make kids behave.
You just have to understand, one thing you learn as you're a parent is there's a certain age where kids will believe anything that you tell them, and it's fun just to kind of mess with that. And so...
Okay.
When I'm adult, I'm going to do that.
And yes, you will, and you'll learn the joy that...
One more question here from one of our listeners, Bobby Blackwolf, who asks, who completes things they build first, Josh or Loki?
He is referring to the fact that I've not finished my game.
Yeah, you never finish your game.
Yes.
All your games.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, drag him. All right.
Well, technically, he hasn't finished most of his Lego sets either, so we're tied.
Only two.
Well, two that you've started, you still have one that's in a box.
I can now see the resemblance here. I'm screaming over here. All right, anything else we need to ask Josh about?
Did you want to plug your YouTube channel?
Wait, Josh has a YouTube channel?
He does have a YouTube channel.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if my wife wants a lot of people to know, but... Yeah. Your YouTube channel, the one that you do with your, was it Josh and Danny Music and Games?
No.
He doesn't want to plug his YouTube channel.
All right.
But
it's a secret for now.
Yeah, I said in
but
maybe next
one
time.
1 year I put one video on.
That's
on
all right.
1 year I put one
video
on.
That's all right. Ask your dad how many games he's published in a year.
One of these days I'll publish something and then you'll have to be quiet. So enjoy it while you can now. No, but there's he plays the piano, so he does that. And
The only hardest part of my homework is my piano.
And he likes.
I kind of played the piano when I was about your age, except I played what was called
seven.
An organ. You know an organ?
No.
The organ's like two pianos, one's on top of the other. That's what I used to play.
Oh yeah, I know what that is.
So yeah, he plays the piano, so he records some videos of him doing that, but he really looks up to Ryan's toy review.
It's a video. Well, there's videos.
He's like one of the most
basically he does everything.
They do like a lot of blogging and toy opening and stuff like that, but he's like one of the most insanely popular kids channels. Like he's like a multimillionaire now because from opening toys and doing stuff with your family. And
I like to open
it.
Toys.
Exactly.
Where's my million
dollars? I like toys. Why am I not getting millions of dollars, you know?
Because you're not playing a YouTube channel of toys.
Well, we need to do that. We just need to vlog all this stuff we do and open toys.
That's why I made my my channel for toys.
Your toys channel?
So I can be rich.
I can't wait for your kid to make more money off YouTube than you've ever made off this show.
It won't take long.
It won't take long at all. All right.
But I'm not going to make huge, like, eggs.
He doesn't want to do the big surprise eggs, I guess.
Yeah, they have, like, a bunch of toys, and we don't get free toys.
You got to talk into the microphone. They can't hear you otherwise.
I know.
Okay.
All right.
That's why.
Any final thoughts for the show? You want to go back to playing Super Mario Odyssey?
Yes.
Just say bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Josh, everybody, Loki's child making his debut on the show. Give a round of applause, even though
Yay,
there's really nobody
good job,
here.
Josh.
So just ourselves. All right. There you go. They're applauding out there, though.
Why don't you take your coat off? You're probably hot.
All right.
All right, fine. Go play Super Mario Odyssey.
All right. Some comments in chat here. Does Josh have any last-minute stories? Dungeon Buster says, Super Josh Odyssey, and Dr. Tetsuya says he's adorable. There you go. Yeah. Seal of approval from chat.
All right.
Thanks.
Buy Josh a Switch. Yes, he would probably like it if I got a Switch. And honestly, like...
You should have heard before the show. Josh was like, let's go after the show and buy one.
I'm like, I can't... Mommy would get mad if I spent
that. Yeah, mommy would
get
very mad, I think.
Kind of money on a Switch.
All right, let's get into some rapid-fire news, Loki.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about PlayStation Plus in January, actually getting some decent games. Deus Ex Mankind Divided is going to be the free game, as well as Batman the Telltale series. That's on PlayStation 4. PlayStation 3, you're getting Sacred 3 and The Book of Unwritten Tales 2. And then on the Vita, you're getting a couple cross-buy games as well for PlayStation 4, which is Psycho Pass Mandatory Happiness and Uncanny Valley. So Psycho Pass, is that related to the Weird Al Yankovic album as well?
I wish.
You know, that would be pretty cool. But hey, Deus Ex looks pretty cool, so I'll have to check those out. And those are free if you have PlayStation Plus, which you probably do if you have a PlayStation system. All right, and then last but not least, there is a ROM hack out there for Super Mario Land 2, which adds color, because if you remember, it was a Game Boy game, and Game Boys were pretty much monochrome green back in the 90s. And so now this is actually like a Game Boy Color version of the game, and they even have it where you can, you know, dump it to a ROM and you can play it, and it'll even give you the error if you try to play it on a regular like Game Boy where it says, you know, this is a Game Boy Color game.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, so, and it looks pretty pretty nice looking, so you can check that out.
Has anyone tried to reverse dump that onto a cartridge to actually play it on
Game
Boy Color?
Yeah, they've done that.
Oh, cool.
Like, you can actually dump it onto a cartridge, yeah. And so,
wow.
Awesome.
All right. Well, moving on to some other stories, let's talk about the upcoming Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection. Some fans in Japan. So it's not just people in the U.S. on Twitter that create sometimes a lot of controversy, because it's even happening in Japan that they are very upset about some fans in Japan are upset about some of the decisions made for Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection. This actually, it does kind of make sense, though. Like, I actually get why they're mad. If you haven't heard, there's going to be 12 games in this 30th Anniversary edition, which they announced a few weeks ago, including Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Third Strike, Street Fighter Alpha, etc., etc. But here's the crazy part. Since all titles' contents are based on the overseas versions, the titles' voicing and text will be in English. So, meaning that the Street Fighter Alpha series, which was called Street Fighter Zero in Japan, they're going to go with the English title names. And so they're basically not changing anything for Japan. And I think that even means going so far as to, like, that the names of the characters are going to be all messed up. Because, you know, over in Japan, what was it? What we know as Balrog was...
Vega?
No, what we know as Balrog...
M. Bison?
How was it? Yeah, M. Bison was that. And then Vega was the last boss, which we have as M. Bison. And then the guy that climbs the walls, we have as Vega, but that was Balrog. So it's all messed up, right? So that is... apparently none of that's getting changed for Japan. So it's kind of like... you get the 30th anniversary collection, but we hope you enjoy the editions from the Americas, because that's what you're getting. So Japanese fans are a little upset they're not taking the time to provide the Japanese versions. So anyway, Dark Tetsuya, interesting. That's why Evo uses universal names for the characters. Boxer, Claw, Dictator. Interesting.
Boxer, Claw, Dictator.
Yeah, makes sense. All right. All right. So anyway. It works both ways around, I suppose, is that sometimes Japanese fans get upset about things not being localized over there either. Anyway, my next rapid fire story won't load, but I'm going to try to do this from memory. They are re-releasing, I suppose, Catherine. You know that game that was a big kind of like, it was like a puzzle game. It was a little bit cultish. They are re-releasing that on the PlayStation 4 as what's called Catherine Full Body. And I'm hearing it is...
Yes, I can imagine.
I'm hearing it is kind of like a remaster of the first game, but it sounds like there might be some extra content. They are kind of, it's kind of like New Game Plus, I suppose. They're going back and adding some new stuff to it.
Yeah, they're saying that basically this came out of the Weekly Famitsu, so they've got, I guess, a profile for the third Catherine, because if you remember from Catherine, there was two different Catherines that were in there, but now they're adding a third. And I guess along with that, they don't really talk too much about it. There's some like streams that they're doing as well on YouTube and Nico Nico, or they did those, I guess those were on the 22nd. And yeah, so it looks like it's just kind of an expanded version of the game.
Yeah, so I kind of missed it the first time around, so maybe I'll get around to checking it out this time. We'll see. Just depends on price and time and all that good stuff. But I know the first game had its fans, so I'm sure some folks are excited to kind of see that come full circle. So, all right. This is the part of the show where we talk about what's coming out in stores this week. But I think with the holidays, we're really empty. So we're going to just kind of skip past that this week and get back into some releases next year, right? Do we have anything in early January? I know I'm kind of asking you a question about something you might not be prepared to answer. Well, we know Dissidia is a January title next year, right?
Yeah, I don't know what they've got coming as far as like 2018. Like, usually there's some stuff in January, but it's not normally until like the second or third week, usually. Let's take a quick peek here real fast. So,
sorry to put you on the spot.
No, no worries. January, the first release I show is actually on the 11th. So they have the Escapist 2 on the Nintendo Switch, followed by the 16th with Street Fighter V, the arcade edition. So there's Dissidia. I mean, just kind of going over some of the stuff that there's Dragon Ball FighterZ. Jamie will be very pleased with that. Dissidia, yes. Final Fantasy NT is going to be coming to the PlayStation 4 by the end of the month. And, like, looking way ahead, February, they've got Civ 6, Rise and Fall.
Well, yeah, that's the expansion, yeah. It didn't make our show roll tonight, but they announced there's going to be another leader for India, I guess, in that expansion. So that it's not always Gandhi that's threatening to nuke you. Which goes back to a bug in the classic Civilization game where basically, like, Gandhi was supposed to be so, like, not like that I think it, like, subtracted 2 or something, and then that caused the number to roll, like, the odometer to roll over, so it actually set them on, like, the ultra-highest setting. I'm, like, really crappily explaining this, but basically a math bug caused him to be the most extreme when it came to, like, declaring war and bombing people, so, which obviously is not what Gandhi was, but it's just kind of makes for a funny Civilization game, I suppose. It is just a video game, after all.
Yeah, Monster Hunter World, and then looking into February, even they've got what else we got here? Looks like the Metal Gear Survive.
God, I forgot all about that.
The Bayonetta Switch releases.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff coming.
Well, this is a good chance for you guys to catch up on gaming backlogs, and if you're like me, I'm sure you have a ton of them. So,
yep.
All right, we would usually do emails here as well, but our email bag's looking a little empty. So send us something for next year, would you? Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you'd like to say hello. Comment on any news story that we've been talking about. We get some really good insight sometimes from people that are like, hey, I work at XYZ Place, or hey, this game you guys didn't know much about, I played a lot of this game. So we always appreciate those insights because, you know, there's only so many hours in a day, and we do all hold down day jobs too. So sometimes we can't get around to literally everything, so... Anyway, we will pick back up then with some other news. Loki.
As I've been hinting throughout the show, Nintendo, their paid online service, which still hasn't released and has been delayed and delayed and delayed, is now being delayed again. So now they're saying that it's been pushed back to fall of 2018.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know what this... What is the holdup? Like, really... What is the holdup at this point? It's like 19 months after the...
I would literally have to invent things because we have no idea what it is, what they're working on. I can only think maybe performance issues, but, I mean, that's not really being fair to anybody. It's just a guess.
I mean, I hate making fun of Nintendo for being, you know, just, like, totally green and online, but
well, here's
I mean, it's
here's the
kinda...
plus. There is a plus to this. You don't have to pay to play Splatoon online for another year, potentially. So wasn't there something, too, about that this may only be impacting certain countries? Or we don't, like, because Nintendo hasn't officially said anything yet, right?
They haven't said anything. It originally was delayed this spring 2018, but they haven't really said too much about it. They're saying that apparently, this is according to Nintendo, the Italian Nintendo website, so Nintendo Italy, is showing that it's been delayed to fall of 2018. So the assumption is, well, if it's a worldwide launch, we know it may not necessarily be worldwide.
I kind of don't understand why they'd hold it back in certain places only, especially a place like Italy. What did they do? You know, like what's special in an online capacity regard? What is special about Italy compared to, like, say, the rest of Europe? You know, so.
Well, I don't know. So we don't know yet because they're quiet about it. So,
well, rumor.
Don't be surprised.
Again, rumor, capital rumor, is that there's supposed to be a Nintendo Direct in early January, which. It would make sense because they're going to start to detail some of the gaming releases. We know we have Bayonetta coming, but they're going to really want to lay out, here's what to get hyped about in January, February, March, April, May. So it would make sense that they would do a Direct. And if they don't address it in the Direct, I think it's safe to say it's delayed. Because if it was supposed to be debuting in early 2018, we would kind of hear something in this Direct, I would think. So.
Yeah, I'm just surprised. I mean, I don't know. I would have thought this. It seems like if it's coming out like 19 months after a console's been released, that's like pretty poor planning. Like you couldn't. I don't know.
I'm trying to think though. Haven't? I mean, it's not like. Well, yeah. I mean, it's online. This is majors online. Yeah, it's not like a redesign of the dashboard or.
But this isn't like the first time they delayed. So I remember with the original Wii web browser and stuff that was delayed as well after launch, and then you had to pay for it. And it was, I don't know, back in. That time period, jeez, but like, I'm just surprised.
Okay, I knew there had to be something like this. Bobby Blackwolf points out Xbox Live didn't come out on the original Xbox for 2 years. But maybe.
But did they ever plan to have that at launch? Or was that like a.
Well,
thing
and
that
I also kind of strike it up to one of those things where it's like, well, you don't know what you're missing until you have it. And that was the first. Xbox Live was kind of the first, right? And so now, you know, at that point, those first 2 years of Xbox Live, you didn't know what you were missing until you had it. And now that's kind of where we're at with Nintendo. But it's not like you can play Splatoon online. You do have that phone app, which, you know, it's not – I think everybody's kind of worked around with the voice chat. But it does provide that enhanced breakdown of your stats in Splatoon 2 and being able to see what's in the stores. I mean, it's a little something that wasn't there before. So it's not like there isn't anything at all. I think the big question mark is – what the heck is going on with virtual console and online and that whole thing? I think that's more of it. It's not like online play doesn't work. Look at Splatoon 2, and I know I keep going back to that one. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Mario Kart is also online. You know, there are Nintendo games that perform online right now. It's just we don't know what the extra stuff, which is namely, I guess, virtual console. We don't know what any of that's going to be. But then here's the other weird thing about virtual console and all that. I don't know if you know this, but over this holiday break, I think it was just either like on Christmas Day or the day before, that versus Super Mario Brothers came out for Arcade Archives. So you can play kinda the original Super Mario Brothers on Nintendo Switch now. Kinda. But of course, that versus Super Mario Brothers, it was different. It was a little bit harder. There's some missing things. And then even when you get into, like, the warp zones don't all work. You can only go to level 6. And then when you get that far in the game, like, levels are straight up replaced with levels that are in Super Mario Bros. 2 Japan, which is lost levels here, which, as you remember, those levels were very hard.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So it's kind of like it's a mishmash of all these different elements of, I guess, the first two Mario Brothers games overseas. But anyway, the point is you can play Super Mario Brothers on the Switch, kinda, right now. So, but it won't be the same thing you guys remember. Anyway. All right. But Bobby does want to clarify the Ethernet port was there at launch. But was that intended for LAN? Because here's the thing is I remember that the original Halo game was all like a, was the original Halo LAN? I thought it was.
Yeah, it's System Link, yeah.
Or was it Halo 2? Yeah, I think it was the original Halo, because I remember, I'm trying to remember when I first got into Xbox. Remember, I've told this story before, I played it at a wedding. And the wedding reception they had, yes they did, they had Halo, was it Halo or Halo 2?
They had it, but they, it was a local area network.
Did.
Yeah. And that was when I got hooked on Halo. And I was like, I did not think I would enjoy a first-person shooter, but this is so much fun. So,
anyway. And Bobby's clarify, yes, Halo 1 had LAN. I don't know. It's so long ago, I barely remember.
It's been over 10 years.
It has. Been closer to 15 at this point.
I know. Totally the original, classic game material.
The original X... The original Xbox was before this show. I remember buying an Xbox the first or second year of the show because I finally got swayed by Ultramix. Remember we had that guy? He brought his Xbox to the show. What was his name? Ryan Zero? Something like that was his name. Remember that guy?
Maybe.
And he came and he brought his Xbox. And I was like, oh, Ultramix is actually kind of rad. And then when Ultramix 2 happened, like I had to have an Xbox because that was like the best DDR game. And I still say to this day, the best home DDR game they ever did was Ultramix 2.
Was that where they had, like, the different drum stuff?
Yeah, that was when they started licensing the synth pop, and it really started to kind of go, like, a different direction. And, yeah.
And then they killed it.
Yeah, unfortunately. Anyway, let's move on. Did you want to talk about the chips, too, while we're here?
Yeah, we can talk about the chips. So they're also delaying the 64 gigabit or gigabyte chips, I guess. I'm assuming it's gigabyte chips. So I guess... You know, originally they were supposed to be in the hands of developers already, but apparently that now it's going to be coming out in 2019. And I guess one thing with that, from what I hear, is that a lot of people aren't using the 32 gigabyte ones that are already available. And so right now, way of developers have been kind of getting around it is just having a large download after the fact.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this just a cost thing? Like, this might be a cost thing. It's a stupid question, but I'm just assuming that a 32 gig cart costs more than a 16 or an 8 gig cart. And so to, excuse me, make more money, they are using the smaller carts and, yeah, doing the download.
Yeah. Because it's your data that, you know.
That's right. That's your 900 gigabytes that the Xbox is downloading in a month.
Yeah. I don't know.
Moving on, let's talk about, again, these are rumors, but it's a slower show this week, so I'm allowing a few more rumors than usual, but it's a game that people get excited about. It's Pokemon and the upcoming Gen 8 game, which we know is for Switch. That part we know. Nintendo's confirmed that the next generation of Pokemon will be on Switch, and we kind of know that Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon were kind of the last on the 3DS, and could the game be going through some changes when it comes to the Switch? Well, there's some information kind of leaking out there on the web, and, you know, again, take it with a grain of salt, but the Chinese localization team has apparently already finished translating the game's script. There's not going to be any new Mega Evolutions introduced in the games. There will be Z moves, and they use motion control to activate using the Joy-Cons. Now, all of this sounds like, okay, yeah, this could all be real. The central plot revolves around the conflict between tradition and innovation. Okay, sure. Region inspiration been rumored to be Spain or Italy, which, okay, yeah. I mean, X and Y was kind of France-inspired, if I remember right, and Sun and Moon was definitely Hawaii, and every Pokemon game has been inspired by a certain region.
Which
so it makes
region
sense.
Did you say it was again?
Spain or Italy.
Poor Italy. You know, getting a region in Pokemon, but not getting their, you know, online for the Switch.
Yeah. Also, though, the biggest, probably, like, big piece that would be a huge change to the whole thing is that apparently the battle system's getting simplified. That could be controversial, and that's the part where I kind of go, I don't know. I don't know if everybody would be down for that. But it's going to be, I guess, similar to Digimon World, which seems like sacrilege, but whatever, and Pokken Tournament with more of a rock-scissors-paper type of attack, block, or grab. I don't see, and I don't know if I'm... That doesn't really make sense to me. Because the typing is so important and is kind of the whole, like, rock, paper, scissors thing, right? Like, water beats fire, grass beats water, fire beats grass, right? Like, that's your rock, paper, scissors stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand why. And I know that there is this whole system in Pokken and everything as well, but, like, Pokken is also, like, a fast-paced type of game. There's a lot going on, like... right now, and so it kind of had to have a different system. But with the more traditional Pokemon games, they're more of like a role-playing game, so I don't know if this makes as much sense. I mean, I guess we'll see, but
Yeah,
I'm excited for Pokemon Gen 8, though. I really am excited to see it on the Switch, and the fact that I could pick it up and take it with me and play it on the TV is going to be great. Like, I really wish I could have done that for some of the 3DS games. I probably would have been more into it if that was the case. So, going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, ActDev says, that works in Pokken. It's dumb to apply it to the regular games. Pokken is a fighting game. It needs the triangle system. Pokemon has way more going for it to have way oversimplified. Well, yeah, and in Pokken, you can't really, I don't think it does anyway. Correct me if I'm wrong, ActDev, but I don't think it does the whole water beats fire beats grass, you know, that whole thing, because it's a fighting game and you need the characters to be a little more equal. Like, you don't want one character to be stronger than another just because of the typing in Pokken. It's different. So that's why they have this kind of different system. So anyway,
that's what I thought. Thank you, ActDeft. ActDeft agrees with me. So, all right. Anyhow, let's move on. I know rumors are not the most fun stories, but it's a slower
time.
Let's
talk more rumors.
Uh-oh. Yeah. But this one has a little more substance to it, right?
Possibly. Hopefully it's not a faked screenshot, but apparently allegedly there was a PlayStation Network page that went live for Destiny 2's second expansion titled Gods of Mars. And it was also leaked onto Reddit with a few screenshots. They said that basically talks about that the Guardian will be exploring the Frigid Vale of Mars and will go up against, I guess, Charlemagne, who imprisoned Rasputin after reawaking Mars, and they are supposed to be freeing Rasputin and defeating Charlemagne. And they've got new story missions, new themed weapons, armors, co-op multiplayer arenas, new enemy factions and bosses. And of course, you know, it's supposed to be $20, coming out in March 2018.
Man, I fell off that Destiny train so fast. Like, I was really into it for like a week, and then I got distracted. And I think what hasn't helped is then they're like, oh, this expansion came out and you got to buy this expansion now to kind of really see what else is in the game. And it's like, I think because I waited for the PC release, it kind of screwed a lot of that up, because the time between the PC release and expansion was a lot less than, say, somebody who got it on PlayStation 4 or Xbox One in the expansion.
Yeah.
So it was like, where did the time go? With the first game. Oh, well. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says, people are pretty upset with Destiny 2 right now, especially with the expansion. Yeah, I've heard that they've actually had to go in and do another patch for the game because, I guess, you know, end game content was getting pretty hosed by this expansion, and some of the people who hadn't bought it were getting really irritated.
Well, yeah, they had it. It was content that was available already, and then they paywalled it, like, after it'd been available for a while behind the expansion. Because it was endgame stuff, which was just silly. Like, what the hell? And then they were, you know, messing with the XP gains.
At least you can still play stuff like World of Warcraft if you don't have the expansions. It might not you might have a lot harder of a time finding a party for the content you want to do, but, you know, you can do it.
I don't know. There's been a whole lot of Destiny 2 backlash, and the whole, you know, Eververse thing is just not helping.
Funny you bring that up, because Dungeon Buster actually says in chat, if you go to the official forums, there are pages of nothing but remove Eververse because of the way they did the loot tables in the game, especially
right, yeah,
with
like,
Osiris.
Did you hear about their Christmas event that they did?
No.
They had a holiday event. And, yeah. You know, whereas most holiday events in games, you know, you go in there, they have Christmas-themed loot boxes, sure, and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's Heroes of the Storm's doing that,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah. So they made it impossible.
I got a snowflake mount last night.
Nice. So they made it so that it was impossible to get all of the, you know, basically to unlock most of the stuff in those loot boxes. They paywalled the stuff that they were giving out as part of the Christmas thing behind stuff. So instead of giving out these things and having, you know, stuff that you could get, you know, maybe incorporating that into the normal loot boxes. Like, you know, with Overwatch, you get, you know, holiday stuff themed within that. Yeah. Well, in this, it was separate. You had to have certain Ingrams to unlock those holiday loot boxes.
Hmm.
It's so greedy. This is just a perfect example.
I think it's going to come back to bite them all. I think it is. Anyway. All right. Well, hopefully this game won't have any special boxes or DLC, and again, we don't know what it's going to be. There is a teaser site that has come up for a new Space Invaders project in 2018, which, of course, only the biggest arcade game ever in Japan, right? And certainly everybody here knows Space Invaders as well. It was hugely popular over here. But I think what's more, I mean, okay,
Space Invaders is kind of an older game at this point. I'm not sure a lot of people get really into like the old Space Invaders, but this game has been reinvented several times in pretty cool ways. Like Groove Coaster is kind of Space Invaders-y in a way. Mm-hmm. Like they use a lot of the same like art, but especially like I think of Space Invaders Extreme, the one that was kind of like it was on PSP, I think.
Yes.
I think they did a version on Xbox Arcade and some of that.
Yes.
But like with the techno music and stuff as you play, it was a really cool game. Like it was a really neat reinvention. And then what they had, Arkanoid versus Space Invaders not that long ago. And that was kind of fun too. So like they've been reinventing Space Invaders in some really cool ways. Oh, and the thing at the arcade. That's something I played during the break that I haven't talked about on the show yet. Randomly, Shane and I went over to... you know the place up in Rockland that has all the music games? So we went up there so I could play some Neon FM. And they have one of those giant, now it's Space Invaders, but it spits out tickets. But this thing is so colorful and bright and loud. Right? Have you seen these things?
I haven't.
I'm surprised they didn't have one at Golfland.
They may have, but I didn't walk around too much. I literally went through, we just went upstairs and like didn't look at most of the games. I did see there was a Max 2 still there that... It's sad.
Well, anyway, this mystery project is between Taito, who owns Space Invaders, and Dekika Games. I hope I said that right. And they say, if you've ever played a video game, then you likely have Taito to thank. It's been four. That's a little. But anyway, it's been 40 years since they've released their monumentally influential arcade title, Space Invaders, an indisputable founding father of modern gaming. To celebrate this occasion, Taito and Dekika are bringing the invasion to Steam in 2018. Stay tuned for more details at the beginning of the new year.
They're so humble about it.
I know, right? They're so humble. Maybe that's why they're going to Steam and not the Humble Bundle. Anyway, I'm sure they'll sell it there too. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably going to be something that kind of just modernizes the shooter, kind of like Extreme, but I hope the soundtrack's as cool. So, maybe. Yeah, Act Deft in chat says, Space Invaders Extreme 3, please. Tiger Claw says that the game I'm thinking of, Space Invaders Frenzy from Raw Thrills, who... Raw Thrills has been doing a lot of those reinvention games, right? Aren't they the ones that are doing that Ninja Turtles arcade game too?
That's, yes.
Yeah, that whole thing. So they're doing a lot. There it is. Yeah, this is it. You haven't seen where you sit down, you have like the thing you point at. It's crazy. I bet you maybe this is something like they're going to try to make on Steam. I don't know. Something that's maybe a little more like.
So you actually like shoot?
Yeah, you
stuff?
Actually shoot them with like a gun. Huh. Yeah, kind of. It's different, right? That's the cool thing about these Space Invader reimaginings is that many of them don't really stick to the old format. So anyway.
Cool.
Cool. Anyway, that's what I have to say about Space Invaders. Loki.
All right. And then, unfortunately, some more bad news. The voice actor, Jim French, has passed away. He was better known for some of the games he did voice work for Valve, including Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead 2, and even Half-Life 2. So he did play Bill, I guess, in the Left 4 Dead series. And in Half-Life 2, he played Father Grigori. And I guess he also does the voice of Elder Titan in Dota 2 and the Fisherman in Half-Life 2 Lost Coast. And then aside from that, he was also, you know, I guess a radio producer and a host for several years. He created a show called Imagination Theater, I guess, in Seattle's KIRO station and later in KIXI. So he was 89 years old.
Oh, well, that's a good age, but very, very sad to hear about that. Lastly, tonight, to end 2017, I thought maybe a little bit of music game news would be fun here.
Yes.
I am going to open up the Skype line as well. I don't know if there's anybody out there who wants to call in, but just in case we have anybody, again, on this early day, if you do happen to be listening later in the evening at our usual time, you're hearing a rebroadcast because we did tape the show today at noon. It's almost 2 o'clock on the West Coast now to free up our evenings. But if you are listening live at the earlier time, you can give us a call, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, and you can say hello. Otherwise, we'll probably be wrapping up soon. But I did want to end it here on this note. It's just kind of music game news, but a little iffy. That is that MAME, the multi-arcade machine emulator, mm-hmm. controversial emulator, I'm sure, but it is worth reporting that MAME, the new version of MAME, will be supporting Beatmania. Certain versions, 2DX specifically. I think the 5 keys are already supported.
Yeah.
But it will now support Beatmania 2DX 4th style, 6th style, 7th style, 8th style, Substream, and that's the one with DDR 2nd Club. Some other games worth mentioning: King of Fighters 98, Knights of Valor 2, New Legend, San Francisco Rush.
The Rock. Sweet.
Wow, I'm almost more excited about that than being exactly. Yeah, exactly. That game was awesome. So there you go. So that's kind of neat. Again, you know, a little bit controversial because, you know, those games still kind of exist in many arcades. But those are some older versions. And something to also think about, because it is an emulator, it's going to be a little slower. Yeah. So your timing is going to really stink.
And
so,
working doesn't necessarily mean working greater. Yes. Well, let's promote it to, I mean, is that like, I don't know, what kind of specs do you need to run that kind of stuff? Because I remember like trying to get like Gauntlet Legends to work, you have to have like a 4 gigahertz processor or something ridiculous.
I used to do a lot more MAME than I do, but now, and it was like usually they'd get released, but then they'd get optimized. You know, but it would take a little time, but
and also
get faster.
I've been doing MAME prior to them supporting multi-processors as well, so it may be a lot better now. Who knows?
Dark Tetsuya said, I played 2DX6 on it. It's still early, so there's some issues, but it still kind of works, but I figured you guys might appreciate this. No, of course. It's a good note, but I'm bummed for us to end on here in 2017. So,
yeah.
All right, I'm going to do another shout-out for calls and see if we get anything at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if anyone wants to get out their final thoughts for 2017.
So games we're anticipating playing in 2018.
The Bayonetta remakes.
I want to play Dance Rush whenever that gets brought out here, because I know they're doing location testing still. But if it ever comes out here, which that stuff tends to make its way to like Dave and Buster's.
I feel like next year might be the year for Kingdom Hearts 3, finally. Fingers and toes crossed.
What do you think about Final Fantasy VII?
I think one or the other's got to happen next year. Maybe next year will be the Final Fantasy VII remake, and then next. But the Final Fantasy VII remake is supposed to be episodic too. I guess
the first episode of that.
Yeah, maybe they'll both hit next year.
I wonder if Metroid's going to be the fourth quarter game.
Oh, I think Metroid will probably be next year. I don't think they would have announced
Smash
it.
Brothers maybe.
Maybe.
Smash Brothers, I could see, is a game that they could wait to launch that online service for, because then it's like, you need to have this.
That could be. Yeah. They'll probably put out a very powerful kind of game to go with that online service. That's for sure. So
Splatoon by then probably is not going to be all that hot.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, Bayonetta 2 is definitely on the list for me. Never got to play it. Bobby Blackwolf says, Final Fantasy VII Remake Episode 1 in December 2018. You don't think they'll aim for November? Try to get the jump on... I mean, I guess that stuff isn't as important as it used to be, but I would still think you'd try to get it out in November to get the jump on the holidays. But it's not like...
Is Crackdown going to come out finally?
I think so. Yeah, Crackdown is a game to look forward to next year.
It's supposed to come out this year, too.
Yeah. I always forget about the Microsoft stuff. I know that's horrible.
But that's because they don't have anything. Like, they used to have,
like... Thieves looked interesting.
Oh, come on. No.
Wow.
Well, no, they used to have like really big like releases, like
Forza Horizon 4. And now, Bobby says, "Jet, hey, we got a call. Let's get to it." Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Akdef.
Hey, Akdef, what's on your mind, buddy?
Well, first of all, I really liked it. You enjoyed the GIF I sent you.
We did. In fact, they're pretty much almost all gone at this point. But we went all over. Like, I think Alan took a box to like a gathering.
I don't know
meeting
if ours are still at the house. I know my wife was hoarding them. So,
what did she like them?
I don't know if she's eaten them yet.
Yeah, the hazelnut stuff's really good. I'm sure Jamie ate all hers too. So yeah, they're good stuff. So thank you for sending enough that we could all kind of share.
Hey, no problem.
Well, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, anyways, there's a bit of news in Mexico concerning video games, and it's not that great.
Uh-oh.
Because basically, Mexico legislation just passed a law that has to, regulate violent games.
Oh.
And it's weird because I'm not against it because, well, yeah, it's, we do have to regulate those things because you cannot sell like a M-rated game to a child and all that stuff. We don't have like some we use the ESRB, obviously.
Right.
But there's nothing that regulates it. So.
So what are we talking when we're talking about regulating violent games? Is it kind of like that law that the Supreme Court kind of flipped here in the U.S. the one that never really took place, where like a store can't even sell it without checking ID, or what?
What do we mean when we say like regulating violent games?
Yeah, that's basically it. You'll be ID'd if you want to buy an M-rated game or some or a violent game. And that's the thing. The legislation says they're gonna make like a new rating system, which is like really really stupid because we already use the ESRB. The ESRB is even in Spanish, so it's like, oh, I cannot read English. No, it's in Spanish too, so it's like really dumb that we're gonna use another or have another like rating system since it already exists and we can use that.
Yeah. What do you know? Yeah. Do you know the why? Like, why is this all happening?
The reasoning they have, it's because the people playing video games right now, it has tripled in amount, and the majority of people are between the ages of 12 and 18, supposedly. And which I really, really don't believe it, because the consoles here are so way too expensive for like a 14-year-old to get. So I really don't believe the numbers. I do understand the reasoning. I'm not really against it, but it's like really dumb. They didn't think it through.
Well, for those that agree with you that it's dumb, is there anything at this point that could be done about it? You know, I know here in the U.S., again, not to get too political or what have you, but I don't think it's any secret that like this year has been really hard on a lot of people because, you know, they may not agree with everything that's going on within the government, and it's caused a lot more people to get involved with politics and involved in that whole process. Do you think – I mean, is there an option for people in Mexico? Is there a way to get involved? Is there a way – is there a Supreme Court type of thing? I really – you know, I don't know. What can be done at this point, ACDEF?
Well, it passed the House of Representatives, like the equivalent of it. So it has to go through the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And they can overturn it, or they can just say no, it cannot pass. But at this point, I think it's gonna pass, even if people like start saying, "Oh, we don't want this," or "Can you modify it?"
Mm.
It's gonna be like, "Oh, it's gonna be there, and you cannot do anything about it." Mexican politics are. If you think the U.S. politics are really, really,
I've heard, yes, yeah. I've heard. Although. I do always get a kick out of what's his name, Vicente Fox, and his ramblings Trump. That's always a lot of fun. Anyway, but not to get too political. Well, ACDEF, I'm sorry to hear that, you know, it may not be going so well, although there might be elements of that you agree with. But again, I would, even if it feels like there is no hope, I would encourage people to try to get involved with the political process. At least let the senators know you disagree. So.
We do have elections, presidential elections this coming year, so yeah.
There you go. There's your way to have a say. All right, my friend. Well, thank you for the update. I appreciate it. Keep us posted, all right? I especially want to know, like, ultimately what the impact is that it has on, like, going to actually buy a game, or if it kind of turns out that you decide maybe to get stuff from America and bring it in. Who knows? So.
Yeah, most probably what I'm thinking is going to happen, more people are going to go digital here. Because... Yeah, you cannot regulate that. That's pretty much like...
Very good point.
Yeah, there's a way easy workaround of that, and just get your games digitally. So
that's a very good point. Just go digital. All right, ACDEF, thank you so much for your support, and have a happy new year, okay?
Hey, you too.
All right, thanks, buddy. All right. I don't think we have any other calls coming in, so I'm going to go ahead and close up the Skype line there. But if you do have a thought you want to get out, you can always email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. And I think, do you have any last minute stories? I didn't ask. I don't know if there's anything you want to get out here. I figured it's probably time we wrap it up. I think Josh is probably all done with Odyssey now. Did you get all the moons?
No.
No, okay.
I was just going through random.
He was just going through random. Don't forget to talk in the mic or the people can't hear you.
I was going through random.
Did you turn the mic off?
It's on. We can hear him.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. You were going through random.
I was going through random kingdoms.
Just random kingdoms. That's what I do too. I just, you know, what do I feel like doing today? Let's
a good way to do it. Well, Josh, thank you for being here. Appreciate you being here. I know you didn't say a lot on the show, but we enjoyed hearing from you when we did. So we'll have you back in a couple years when you're ready to promote your YouTube channel, okay?
All right,
sounds good.
All right.
Yeah,
good. All right, Loki, thanks as always for being here, my friend. Next year, year 16.
Yeah.
Old enough to drive here at Orange Lounge Radio. Mm-hmm. Play some games already.
Make
a game already. Get on it.
I'll do it.
All right, good job. Any final thoughts?
Apparently our dryer's broken.
Woohoo!
So fun never ends in 2017.
What a great start to the new
year.
Your
dryer broke?
Yes, our clothes dryer is
broken. You know what that means? You're going to have to hang up all your clothes to dry.
No, it means you're going to take them over to my mother-in-law's house to dry them.
Well, how did it break?
It's like
somebody took a ride in there.
It's like almost 9 years old, so.
All right. As always, I say, if you enjoy what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, if the voices are actually here to be heard. Otherwise, my final thought is, bring on the new year. 2017, I am done with you. Goodbye. And for this week, we're done with all of you out there in Radio Land. We'll see you in 7 days, live back at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.